The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
Anyhow, it's so good to see each one of you here today. Pastor Matt's going to share some announcements at the end of some really neat things that are going on coming up in February. There's a lot of opportunities to connect, and I think this time of the year it's so important that we invest relationally. It can be a discouraging time of the year when it gets cold and we're trapped inside. We're kind of through the holidays, and he's going to share some wonderful ways to connect. And I want to talk to you again today about this idea of listening to God. And last week we started the series, we got back into the book of Mark, and we're focusing in on really some of the parables of Jesus that have to do with listening to God. And I think this is foundational for anything else that comes this year. And we talked a bit last week about it being a new year, a new decade, and all the things we're thinking that we want to do or we feel God might be calling us to do. The actions, the goals that we sense we need to focus on, and those are all good. But I presented to you last week that I believe it's foundationally important that we ask the question, who are we listening to this year? Are we listening to ourselves or primarily to others or listening to God? And I want to build on that, and I believe really that affects our doing. Not only does it maybe alter our doing or better focus it, but it also empowers our doing when we stay focused on listening to God. And I believe that's really important. Part of the reason I believe God has led me back this way is starting in February 2nd, we're kicking off a new sermon series and really a new emphasis on discovering our personal special calling from God. And I don't think we're going to accomplish that in a sermon series. You know, we're not going to just preach a few messages, open the Word of God, and then we all leave with a sense of personal special calling from God. But I believe we can position our hearts this year to want to make space for the Holy Spirit to help us discover our special calling. In the body of Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, the mission is set. We don't make it up. We don't get to decide it. We all live to love God with all of our hearts, to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's the great commandment and then the great commission to make disciples of all people. Our families, our friends, our neighborhoods, our enemies, everybody, we want to lead into the knowledge of Jesus, a personal relationship with him and how to follow him. We're all called to that. Pastors aren't the only ones. Board members aren't the only ones. All of us are called to this life. But one of the things we want to prayerfully lean into together is I want us to ask together, God, would you show me the unique way that you've gifted me? And I think sometimes we stop in discipling others or in accomplishing or the mission of God in our lives because we are comparing ourselves to somebody else and how they do it or what that looks like. And my prayer is through this series that just together we'll begin to discover and seek after God, just that greater knowledge of what is the unique way you're calling me? How have you gifted me? Through all the wins of my life and the losses of my life, through the good and the bad, through everything that you've done in my life, you have a desire to use me in the kingdom. Paul talks about this, that every member, every part of the body is equally significant. You know, and whether it's the toe or whether it's the elbow, every part of the body of Christ is equally significant. And in discovering what that role is can be important. So that's what's coming. But even before we get there, I think the posture of our heart is so important. You know, wanting to listen to God, opening our hearts to listen to him. Simple truth that I want to share with you this morning is this. Be encouraged. God is at work. He's at work in the church, in the world. He's at work in your life. But sometimes he's at work in ways that we can't see very clearly. But be encouraged. He is at work. We should not look down on things that maybe seem to fly under the radar or that seem insignificant in our lives or in the church. Through all things, God is at work. He's at work to redeem his lost children. He wants this message of salvation that we sang about, for God so loved the world that he gave his life. And this message is for all people, that all who believe can have eternal life. Even now in this life, we can experience that renewal and that redemption of being brought back into God's family. And God's at work in us, and he wants all of us to be a part of this work. So don't be discouraged. God intends on using you this year. He wants to include you in this exciting work. You're a part of it just as much as I am. Arguably, I think it'd be true to say even more than me. He wants to use all of us in his kingdom. Our part is to position ourselves consistently to listen to him, recognize his call, trust him, and obey him. Take those small steps that he shows us. Keep humbly listening to him. Trust him, and he will lead us. I want to look at Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 34 this morning. We have Jesus once again speaking in parables, just as we looked last week at the parable of the four kinds of soil. Now we have Jesus using really four images to teach us about, in a sense, the hidden nature of the kingdom of God. And we want to unpack that a bit together. But the first truth we're going to encounter is this, that God desires us to respond fully to his grace. So when it comes to listening to God, what is so crucial is that it all begins with the desire to respond to him and a willingness to act on responding fully to his grace. Mark 4:21, you can follow along on the screen as well or in your Bibles. And he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to the light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. While it is true that even in Jesus' day, after John the Baptist announced the kingdom of God was here and Jesus proclaimed the message of the kingdom, that the kingdom is here even now, much of Jesus' ministry flew under the radar. You know, the world didn't take notice because it came in a humble way of even the very beginnings were a small beginning. And while that's true that the kingdom of God often, and even not just at its beginning, but even today, flies under the radar of what the world is noticing, God does not intend for his work to be hidden. Just as Jesus uses this analogy of bringing a lamp into a dark room, you don't put it under a basket in the corner. No, it's set on a stand like this table right here, so that it would give light to the whole room. For much of Jesus' ministry, his power and work seemed to be hidden. Even those closest to him struggle to fully grasp what he's doing and fully believe in him. And it's not until really after the resurrection that they really understand, and more importantly, even at Pentecost, where they receive the filling of the Holy Spirit, that they're able to be empowered to be his witnesses, to go into all the world and make disciples. God is at work. It's important that we catch this even now where God has positioned us as a church family in Peoria and the world. He's at work often through small things that fly under the radar of the world's notice. The kingdom of God does not come with glitter and flashing lights. It comes outside of the power centers of the world. It comes in humility and weakness, but it's not coming to be hidden. It's coming to be made manifest. And God intends to use us, the church, to spread the good news of the kingdom. And every one of us has a part. It's important that we in our hearts respond fully to God's grace. Just as the kingdom has come to us, the way we truly experience and listen to God and the way we become effective as a church and individually in first of all receiving this message, but then sharing it for the good of others and for the good of the world, for the glory of Christ, is first when we will listen to God and act on what Jesus says here, and that is that we would respond fully to his grace. Jesus uses this analogy of a measuring scoop. So, and what Jesus is talking about here is when he talks about what we do for God, we will also receive from God. The way in which we, if we lean into God's grace, if we respond to his grace fully with a receptive heart, he gives us more grace. Now, we know the gospel says none of us can respond on our own. We're too sinful. We're too lost. All of us are. But God has given us that grace that comes before salvation, making it possible for us, even in our sins, to hear the gospel and cooperate with his grace and believe. And the point here is that when we respond fully to the grace that God gives us, when we humbly lean into that grace, God will give more grace. And I think it's so significant that sometimes we get ahead of God and we have this vision for where we think we need to be or the church needs to be or our lives need to be. And we look way down the road, and when the step God's calling us to is a small step, respond now fully and God gives more. And then we respond and he gives more. It's often the behind-the-scenes work of the kingdom that flies under the radar that God uses to do his greatest, greatest work. Jesus also warns that those who do not open their hearts and ears to the kingdom will lose what even they have been given. The little that they have will be lost. So if you can catch the importance of what Jesus is saying, that daily attitude of your heart and my heart is so significant. Responding, coming to him humbly, asking him, seeking his kingdom to come in your life. I've been reading a book by an author. His name's Will Mancini, and he has this quote that I find pretty interesting. He said, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I know we've got some teachers here. Maybe you like that quote. But what he means this is that, in a sense, that when we become ready to learn, when we open our hearts, he's talking here, to want to grow, to want to learn, the teacher appears. We're able to learn. And the same is true, I think, in a sense of our spiritual life. When we respond to the grace of God and open our hearts to God's grace, he gives more grace, and we become able to learn and grow. But first, a teacher can teach all they want to a student that doesn't want to learn, and it'll be completely ineffective. But if a student, if somebody's willing to learn and wants to learn and seeks out knowledge, they'll have an abundance of teachers, abundance of counselors who will desire to help and lead them. It's important that we respond fully to God's grace. The second truth is this. Second action that God would call us to take is to place the growth of the kingdom into the hands of God. Place the growth of the kingdom into the hand of God. There's really two actions that Jesus calls for in this, and it's listening and obeying. It's listening to God, then acting on what he shows us. Look at verse 26. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Jesus is showing us to place the growth of the kingdom in his hands and to see that, yes, we have a role. Our role is to keep listening. Our role is to keep acting and obeying on what he shows us as we respond to his grace fully. But the growth that comes, the growth we desire is only accomplished by God. It's not human ability. It's not human innovation. It's not our own work. No, in the kingdom of God, as citizens of the kingdom of God, we acknowledge that the growth we desire belongs to God in God alone. We cannot grow the kingdom in our own human ability. And this is hard to receive, I think, a little bit, because that's not where we start at. We start with us. And we want to focus on growth, on what we want or what we perceive. But Jesus moves it back a step. We do have a part. Our part's to listen to God, to keep this heart of leaning into his word, of being good soil, of responding fully, and then of using that measure of fully responding to his grace and acting when he shows us. But ultimately, our confidence for the growth of the kingdom of God, the spread of the gospel in the world, is rooted in the activity of God more than it is in our own activity, in our own initiative. I think it's important we hold those two truths in tension there. We have a part. We can't sit back and say, God's going to grow, so we're going to go to bed, and we're just going to sleep and let things happen. But we can't go to the other extreme where we put ourselves in the place of God. We do have a part. Listen to God. Respond fully to his grace. Don't despise the small things. Take the next step. And have the confidence that God will produce the growth. And I'm so convinced that some of the big things that God wants to do in my life, and in the past he's wanted to do in my life, the reason they haven't come into fruition is not because I wasn't passionate about growth. The reason when they haven't come into fruition is I was unwilling to take the little teeny step right in front of me. And I think this encourages us to say, yes, we are called. We have a part as a church. We have a mission. God has given it to us. Don't look down. Don't despise the little things. Have confidence in your God. Listen to him. Respond to him fully. He's going to produce the growth then. There's this cooperation that takes place in God giving us grace, and then we respond and we act on that grace. And boy, I tell you, it makes a world of difference for me. It's a game changer. Even as a pastor, I tell you what, it's a game changer for me to say, Lord, here I am. I may not even know how to get there, what to do, but Lord, here I am. I'm listening. Show me. You show me that step, I'll take it, Lord. I'll take it. But at the end of the day, I believe as I just bring myself to you, you're going to grow the kingdom through me. You're going to grow it sometimes in spite of me. Sometimes it's in spite of me. But at the end of the day, the kingdom grows as we trust in and rely upon God. The farmer sees the growth. He knows it. So the farmer has a role. The seed is planted. I mean, the farmer is out scattering seed through our lives, how we live, the message of the gospel. We're investing in relationships. We're seeking to disciple people. We're taking steps to reach out to others. So we're spreading the seed. We have a role to play, but the farmer is not discouraged. I love this. Not discouraged because he knows that the word of the Lord will not return void. She's confident in God, in his ability to do what only God can do. So we sow, we keep leaning in to God's word. It's amazing to me. I was reading this week a couple missionary stories, and I won't tell you them, but one of the most fascinating areas to read, if you were interested in reading theology or church history or things, is to read stories of missionaries. And oftentimes we look back on history and we see how God has used many missionaries mightily. But if you read deeper into the story, not just the cliff notes of the work that was done and the spread of the gospel, you almost always will find at the beginning half or part of the ministry that missionaries will do, it's normally characterized by hardship, wanting to quit, deep feelings of inadequacy and failure. And we miss that part. There's a confidence that God intends we have, and I think so many times the mighty works of God are on the other side of many, many small steps of simple, humble obedience and faithfulness to God. And it's just take those small steps. Sometimes those steps seem like they're in the wrong direction. How can I be effective if I'm dealing with this personal issue or the funding isn't there or I don't think I have the giftedness, but it's the small steps of a heart that says, I'm listening, God. Here I am. I'm responding fully and I'm placing the growth in your hands. I'm taking responsibility for the role you've given me to walk with you, to love you, to spread, to obey you when you say make disciples. But I'm not kidding myself in believing that this was upon me and my ability. It's not my human ability that produces the growth. It is God himself and God alone. When I started seminary, you know, they had something, it was called the Henry Center, and they had, part of this is they'd have gatherings for young men and women called to ministry, all ages, and they'd bring in speakers, and they had a series that was focused on pastors, and they'd bring in special pastors, and they brought in Alistair Begg from Cleveland, Ohio, pastor there. If you've heard of Alistair Begg, he's got an amazing accent, which is kind of unfair, because I could listen to him for hours. But he's had a fruitful ministry of really impacting people for Jesus. And so there's all these pastors in a room like this just full of future pastors, men and women, and from all over the world at Trinity. And we're sitting there, and I remember they asked him to speak about insights into a long, fruitful ministry of making disciples. And here we are. We all have our notebooks open. And I'll never forget him walking and him saying, I've been praying about this. I had a bunch of notes, and I ripped them up. And he said, here's what I believe God has given me. One word. Inadequacy. Inadequacy. He said, of God moving you into places where you know you are completely inadequate for the task before you. And he says, the surprising secret to a fruitful, long ministry is rather than resisting the inadequacies you feel, embracing them, bringing them to your God, and recognizing that it's there in that posture of heart that's humble, that doesn't beat its chest and say, I can do this, I can grow this, I can accomplish this, but says, you called me, I know I'm not able, and there's this allowing God to do what only God can do. And that stuck with me because I think whether it's ministry or in whatever area in your life, as you seek to honor God, as you seek to follow him, as you seek to take the steps that he shows you through his word, there are moments that you feel very, very inadequate or you feel like you don't have the ability. And I just want to encourage you in those moments, don't despise those steps. Don't look down on things that fly under the radar. Don't throw in the towel. Be encouraged. God's at work. He's not going to fail. I love just this week at Board of Ministry, Jim Book was sharing to our candidates at the Exploring the Call to Ministry and devotional starting the day on Saturday. He just a wonderful word from the Lord, but he used the phrase, God never says oops. And I love that because a lot of times I go, oops. About myself, about God doesn't say, oops. You know, we walk with him, and he's there. Respond fully. Respond fully to him. Place the growth in his hands. Don't take it out of his hands. Do your part. We do our part. We lean in. And the last thing is this. Embrace small beginnings. I am bad at this. I'm just going to admit it. Some of you are good at it. I, thanks to some training and whatnot, I know my personality. I'm not going to bore you with that, but I know this reality. I get passionate about things. I see the mountain. I say, let's take that mountain. I'm the first one leading the cause. I've got the banner. We're going to charge up this mountain and nothing can stand against us. And then I trip over my own feet on my first five steps. And then I get discouraged and say, I don't know if we can do it. But there's a reality there. But one of the things the older I've grown in that, knowing who I am, boy, the small beginnings are so important. Jesus gives us one final parable here, and I'm going to read this. Encourage you to follow along. He's teaching us about listening to God, about the work of the kingdom. Verse 30, he says this, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and it puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade. Simple parable Jesus gives, Mark summarizes, with many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately he told his own disciples and he explained everything. Jesus uses hyperbole here. He's not teaching science. We know that the mustard seed is not the smallest, but he's using hyperbole to teach us about the kingdom of God. If you were to take a mustard seed and put it in your hand, you could hardly see it. The size of a mustard seed is literally, if you're looking at my notes right here, the period at the end of the sentence is how big the mustard seed is. Seemingly insignificant. And the reason Jesus picks the mustard seed is the fact that its growth, it grows to a bush that is over 10 to 12 feet tall, a large, so from its smallness to its growth. And as Jesus is surrounded by that ragtag band of disciples, of former tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes, of people, it's in the context of Jesus' humble ministry and proclaiming the kingdom of God from the smallest beginnings, flying under the radar, that this discipleship movement would expand and grow and God's work would come to the ends of the earth. But Jesus is teaching this important principle that as we seek the kingdom of God, we must realize it does not come with glitter and the flashing lights, the sounding of trumpets that would draw us in. God's greatest works start really, really small. So many times God uses a faithful person who doesn't despise the seemingly smallness of what they're doing. One small act of obedience and listening to God, nobody's looking, no flashing lights, followed up with another small act. And it's in the context of these many, many small, seemingly insignificant acts of obedience that the kingdom of God most fully comes and overturns the world. Picture Jesus gives here is a picture of what it means to listen. You, in both this parable we looked at last week and here again this week, he talks about hearing. Hear, this invitation to hear. We have the example of the disciples. The reason that the disciples are able to understand more is not because they're smarter, more intelligent, that they have a degree or whatever it is. The reason they understand more is because unlike the crowds, they linger with Jesus. They're willing to stay, that measure. They're responding fully to Jesus. The reason that God is able to bring through broken people like you and me the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, of what he has done, and what he's done in this world already, that the kingdom has come, God has come to us in Jesus, and that sin has been defeated, that we don't need to be afraid, that we can live in this life knowing that God offers us not only salvation to get out of life and go to heaven in the future, but right now to experience the kingdom of God restoring us today, that I can be a new kingdom creation. I can be created in his kingdom. I can be a citizen of his kingdom. I can be made new, and he can restore what is broken in my life, and he can use me and my brokenness to help spread the good news to other people. And as we look forward to that day that he comes and he makes everything new again, there's this reality that we have, and the reason God is able to use broken people like you and me, it's not because of us, it's when we respond. We just respond to his grace in us. And it's when we recognize that the growth comes from him. We have a part. We proclaim the gospel. We live the gospel. We walk with Jesus. We stay close with Jesus. We do our best to act on small steps that he gives us. But we don't kid ourselves. The growth is his. What he does is only what is a work that only God can do. And then we do not despise small beginnings. Embrace little teeny small beginnings because our God is great and he moves in ways that often the world doesn't recognize. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. God's at work in your life. He's at work in my life. And especially if you can't see it right now, It all seems like just a blurry mess, and you don't know what God's doing. All the more, God is at work in your life right now. The way we can be sure that we'll experience his growth in our life is when we are willing in our hearts to respond humbly and fully to him. Invite him into your life. Invite him and spend time with him. Lean into his grace, and he will give us more and more grace. Let's pray together. Wow, God, you are good. You are so, so good to us. Thank you that your word says that perfect love casts out fear. It's such a joy that this morning we can know. We can come to know you personally. We can come to find our greatest joy in life in a restored relationship with you. Thank you for the gospel that your word says you've entrusted us with the gospel. And even now as we celebrate this today, we are so aware. Apart from you, I know me. I'm a sinner. I was lost. I was dead. I was unable to save myself, but I know you. You sent your son, Jesus. You came because you're a God who is holy love, and you gave everything for me. And not just for me. You don't love me more or less than anybody else. You've given your son for all of us here today. And every person in the world, you have given your son, and we rejoice this morning that it is the gospel of God. It's the good news of what you've done in Jesus for us through your death and resurrection. It's the gospel that gives us new life. It's the gospel that forgives us. And so we can just rejoice in what you have done through Jesus, what you are doing even now in our lives. And Father, I pray that the good news of Christ would be an anchor in every person's life here. Father, that we would not be afraid of our own failings, our shortcomings. Father, that even in those places, we would let your love surround us and fill us. And Father, as we seek to listen to you today, and we do desire to embrace that calling you've placed upon us, we want to follow you, Jesus. We want to walk with you. We want to share your love with other people. And we just thank you that your word reminds us, Lord, that it starts with an attitude in our heart of humbly being willing to respond to you. Father, help us to be the people that, regardless of what's going on in our lives or around us, the number one voice we want to hear every day is the affirming voice of God our Father, who says, "This is my beloved son, my beloved daughter." And we also welcome your correcting voice in our life. We want your word to guide us as we lean into your word, as we spend time with you daily. We want to grow in your love. We want to become like Jesus. And we celebrate today this reminder that the growth is not manufactured by our own strength, our own wisdom. You give your growth to the measure that we're willing to receive it. And so, Father, I pray that that would encourage and fuel our hearts today, that even during difficult times, Lord, that you will produce the growth if we will just lean into your grace. If we'll just respond to you and keep listening to you, you will produce growth. And it's so much more than just personal growth, as important as that is. It's the growth of your kingdom in the world. So, Father, can we see that, we pray. Keep us focused on listening to you. Keep us focused on trusting you. And Father, I pray, and I believe there are many small beginnings in this church, small steps of faith. Father, help us to embrace what is seemingly small and insignificant, knowing that your greatest work and the greatest kingdom growth and the most exponential growth often starts through really, really small, behind the scenes, the faithfulness of a follower of you who will take the good news of Jesus into somebody else's life, who will take the next right step, trusting that you will make the difference. So, Father, we pray that your truth would be multiplied into our lives today, and, Father, that you'd be with us. And, God, I just also pray, I know it's a cold morning. There are men and women in this church, young and old, who may be shut in today. We pray for them, Lord. We love them. even now in their homes, Lord, may you fill their hearts with your grace and make us mindful, Lord, of when and how we can respond to help others. It's in your name we pray. Amen.